athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Some of y'all go get washed, some of y'all just go pop, some of y'all just go talk, but none of y'all ain't really.
As always, thank you for joining us on another edition of the program. We've got, what, maybe a week or so left in the regular season as far as Division I basketball is concerned. Shortly thereafter.
And that's the way
and
I like it.
It's interesting because already in the Big 12, Houston has wrapped up the Big 12. Well, at least has wrapped up a share of the Big 12 by virtue of its victory over Texas Tech on Monday, 69-61. It was a really big win. It was a win in which Houston avenged its earlier loss in the season to Texas Tech. So what that means is now on Saturday, that if Houston wins the game at home against Cincinnati, then Houston is going to win the Big 12 outright. Or if Arizona loses its game, then Houston wins the Big 12 outright. And Kelvin Sampson is the head men's basketball coach at Houston, and he joins us today here on the program. Looking forward to the conversation with Kelvin Sampson. I'm really bullish. I really like Houston this year. When the first brackets came out a couple of weeks ago, the NCAA released its first brackets and had the top 16 teams. Number one, two, three, and four seeds. And it was Auburn. So at that time, it was Auburn. It was Alabama, Duke, and some, I can't remember who the fourth seed is sort of escaping me right now. But I thought Houston should have been maybe considered as a number one seed at that time. I had a chance to ask ESPN's Joe Lunardi about that. And, I forget what he said then. But then Joe Lunardi came out with his own bracket last week where it was Auburn. It was, I think Duke was number two. Alabama may have been number three. And like Florida was number four. I think Tennessee was five. And then Houston was number six. And I asked Joe Lunardi about it again. And I mean, in essence, he said he thought eventually Houston would be a number one seed. And look, I think the Cougars are playing that way, right? Like, this is a really good team. It was only a couple of years ago that Houston was in the Final Four. And so again, we're going to talk with Kelvin Sampson today here on Box Score and really talk about that team. I think it's a little bit of a respect factor to me, and interested in seeing what he thinks about where the Cougars are currently ranked, even though, look, it's a lot of season left to be played, still three more games for Houston, still three games remaining with most of the Big 12 teams, and so anything can happen. But again, a win in the next three games by Houston, or a loss by Arizona, and Houston wins the Big 12 outright. But now, right now, Houston has clinched at least a share of the Big 12. So we're going to talk again with Kelvin Sampson on the program. Also, we're going to talk some NBA today on the program as we are. So we've only, if you can believe this, There are only about 24 to 26 games remaining, depending upon the team remaining in the season. And so we've, you know, I think I'm going to tell you, and I sat and watched the game last week between the Lakers and the Nuggets, that Saturday night game. And look, the Lakers are a serious team, I think, in terms of contending. And really, for me, it wasn't about Luka and LeBron. It was about how the other players were going to play. And I was a little bit concerned, especially early on. But I think part of that, because when you think about Austin Reeves, when you think, you know, certainly about Hachimura, I mean, those guys can play. But once Luka came around, to me, those guys' games changed a little bit, and they didn't shoot as well, particularly Hachimura, who struggled in the games that Luka played from three-point range. But it was one of those things where Luka really got loose. We saw the step-back three-pointers. We saw him really play his game. Like, he got loose. It was like he was tight. So because he was tight, everybody else other than LeBron was tight. But once Luka loosened up and, you know, did his thing, and he did it, he did his thing in the Dallas game, you know, certainly on Monday or Tuesday also. I think it was Tuesday. Then it allowed for the rest of the team to open up, because even early on, Hachimura was off in that game against the Nuggets. Then he started to hit threes. Austin Reeves had a good game. So you really need all of the pieces right there for the Lakers. The Lakers really need all of the pieces to come together. But I really think that this is a Lakers team that has a real opportunity to challenge in the West, right? I think the other team that has a real opportunity to challenge, even though it sits in the eighth place right now, or in the number eight seed, if you will, or eighth in the Western Conference, the Golden State Warriors. I already thought that adding, you know, you added Jimmy Butler to that, like, would that be a move that would put the Warriors over the top? Not necessarily, but the way that the Warriors have played, because this had been sort of a 500 team throughout the majority of the season, and now it's a team that's only lost one game since Jimmy Butler has come to this team, and it's a team that has played well. But I think once Jonathan Kuminga comes back, see, Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is going to be the key to the Warriors. And I believe if Kuminga plays well, and not only plays well, I mean, he hadn't played necessarily great this season. I think that the Warriors thought by now Kuminga would have been a guy that would have been like the next guy, like the heir apparent, if you will. And that just has not happened for whatever reason for the Warriors. But I think if he can really, really start to come around, then I think that's a situation where it could be a lot. I mean, it could be really, you know, a lot better, I think, for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, he's only averaging 16.8 points per game this season, but he's been injured. He's only played in 32 games so far. So if he can come back and really give a spark, this could be a team with the Warriors that could make a run. Because remember, let's go back to that 2022 season. It was a team that a lot of people thought was on the, and probably myself included, thought was on the downside, right? Like, maybe the Warriors weren't going to get it done. Klay Thompson seemed to be regressing. I don't know. That's a strong word. I don't want to say regressing, but he was getting older. Right, it's one of the reasons that the Warriors decided to move on from him, even though he's had a pretty good season with the Mavericks, a pretty good couple of seasons with the Mavericks, is because he was sort of, he was getting older. But he reached down in the playoffs, and that took a lot for the Warriors that year. Like, everybody had to really come to play. And, you know, that's exactly what happened that season. It was like an all hands on deck sort of situation. So, you know, you got really good play, not only from your big three, Jonathan Kuminga, you know, really stepped up. Guy like a Marcus Moody stepped up. Jordan Poole, who is playing for the Wizards now. I mean, you know, the Wizards are just bad, although the Wizards are, they've made a couple of trades. I think things may bode well for the Wizards in the future, especially if they get like a number one or a number two pick next year. You know, you have a situation where those guys, all of those guys really stepped up in the playoffs. And so it led to Golden State really coming around and winning that championship. Andrew Wiggins was a big part of that championship as well. So you added Jimmy Butler, who we know can play, and we know he's going to be good in the playoffs. Historically, he has been. Playoff Jimmy is his name. So you add that guy. But I think it's Jonathan Kuminga is really going to be the key for the Golden State Warriors. And I think if he really steps up, comes back, maybe he gives you 20 points, even if it's not 25. But if he can give you 20 and be efficient, now we're talking about a Golden State Warriors team that really can make a run. I think the Thunder are the team to beat, as I said last week, because they've been arguably the top team, I mean, top two teams all season long. I mean, SGA is absolutely phenomenal. That team in of itself is really, really good. And so I really like the Thunder. I really think I like the Thunder to come out of the West, actually. And for me, what the Thunder got last year in terms of that playoff experience, but bowing out early. So you get that playoff experience, and now it makes you ready to rock and roll. So for me, I think that the Thunder are the team to beat. That said, the Lakers and the Warriors, to me, are the next teams, whether you rank them at two or three. You know, the Nuggets have that core, but, you know, I'm not sold on the Nuggets as of yet. Like, I think the Nuggets are, if I had to say right now, who's the more talented team between the Nuggets and the Lakers, I would say the Nuggets are probably the more talented team, and they are the team that have been together longer, won a championship just going back 2 years ago. That said, the Lakers put it on the Nuggets last Saturday. So it's a lot going on. We're going to talk a lot of NBA today here on the program. Look, you can participate here on the program. As always, hit me up via Twitter on my personal Twitter account or my personal X account at DWare1. Still to come, more NBA talk. But up next, we're going to be joined by Houston Cougars head men's basketball coach Kelvin Sampson. Keep it locked.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Patrick Crary II, the head men's basketball coach at Florida A&M. You mentioned all of the other things surrounding it, the media, the post-game stuff. Do you enjoy that?
Of course. You got to love it. I mean, it's part of your job. You got to love your job. Understand all that goes into being a head coach. I think a lot of assistant coaches, you know, they think being a head coach is telling people what to do and drawing plays. But it's a lot more than that. It's establishing relationships. It's building a culture. It's representing your institution and your university first. So you got to embrace it, you got to love it, and most importantly, you got to be grateful for every opportunity you get.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Yeah. Ladies and gents, players and pimps, listen.
One, two. Oh, what shall I do? I'm slipping on my khaki suit. The blue one.
Joining us in about 5 minutes here on the program, Kelvin Sampson, the Hitmen's basketball coach at Houston. Also still to come here on the program, earlier in the week, Kevin Durant came on the Draymond Green podcast with Byron Davis and discussed why he, in essence, nixed the trade to go back to the Golden State Warriors. So we're going to replay part of that conversation and we'll discuss that as well. And in the last segment, look, we were talking some NBA, and I look at the Western Conference and I look at Golden State. And the other night, Thursday night, as a matter of fact, Golden State came back from down about 17 points or so to beat Orlando. And Orlando, I thought Orlando would be having a better season to this point. Now, I realize Suggs is out. I mean, Banchero dropped 42 in this game. He was absolutely incredible. It's still a good team, but I thought the way, from what I saw from the Magic last year, and especially the way the Magic went toe-to-toe with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoff series last year, I thought I would see a little bit more from Orlando, but we'll see what happens when Suggs comes back. But Golden State, Steph Curry is going to give you some of these performances every now and again. He's pretty consistent. I mean, he's a pretty consistent player, but 56 points, I think he drained like 12 three-pointers. It may have been more than that. He drained right before the half. He drained a three-pointer from half court or beyond half court that you could argue sort of gave Golden State a little bit of momentum, at least going into the locker room, down all of those points. And then, he had a couple of long three-pointers there in the second half that really propelled Golden State. So he's going to give you some of those performances. And we're going to talk more about the Kevin Durant non-trade, if you will, or him not coming back to Golden State. But when you've got a guy now like a Jimmy Butler, and Golden State is 7-3 in its last 10 games and has won so many straight games, I've got to have Golden State like up there in my top three in the Western Conference when it's all said and done. Like, I like the Thunder. I think the Thunder are battle-tested from last year in terms of maybe having a really good season but not performing as well in the playoffs. So, again, I think that happens to all young teams. But now I think the Thunder battle-tested with who I think is the league's MVP in Shane Gilgeous-Alexander. SGA has been absolutely tremendous. But I like the Lakers. I mean, you've got to like that, like I talked about before, and Luka in that game on Saturday against the Nuggets. The Nuggets have had, to me, some losses here down the stretch that I've kind of scratched my head at. And that's why I can't, I don't trust the Nuggets. Like, if I look at the continuity of the Nuggets from 2 years ago winning the championship, I think part of the issue with the Nuggets last year, no KCP, no Jeff Green, those were two integral parts of that team, and which is why the Nuggets were sort of disappointing last year and bowed out early in the playoffs as the defending champions from the previous year. And then the Grizzlies, like Ja Morant is playing well, Jaren Jackson Jr., all of that. Baines, like, it's a good team, but to me, there's always something that happens with the Nuggets. Like, I need to see the consistency level, I think, from the Nuggets for me to say, okay, from the Grizzlies to say that that's going to be a Grizzlies team that's going to challenge. But you got to like the Warriors, Steph Curry. Now you add Jimmy Butler, some of the young pieces that they have. And then, of course, for me, the Lakers, I mean, as I mentioned before, definitely have to be the teams to watch. And these two teams, the Lakers right now sit at number four, and the Warriors sit at number seven. As mentioned, you can participate here on the conversation. Hit me up via Twitter at DWare1, at DWare1, to give me your thoughts. Let's continue here on the program. We're joined by a gentleman. As a matter of fact, he's in his 36th season as a head college basketball coach. His 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at Houston. The Cougars are number four in the country, 24-4 on the season, 16-1 in the Big 12. A big win over Texas Tech on Monday to clinch a share of the Big 12 championship, and going to be at home on Saturday against Cincinnati. Kelvin Sampson is the head men's basketball coach of the Cougars. He joins us here on the program. It's a pleasure, Coach Sampson. Welcome to the program.
I appreciate it, D. Good to be on with you, man.
Absolutely. You know, I got to start here. Like, we're going to talk basketball and all of that. I think one of the coolest things I've seen was a year ago. As a matter of fact, you grew up, you know, playing ball at Pembroke in the Sampson County area and Lumberton and all of those kinds of good things, which is like an hour and a half from us. You receive recognition for service, the Eagle Feather and the Lumbee Warrior Pin from the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina. I believe that was about a year ago. I watched the video. It was one of the coolest things I've seen. What did that mean to you?
Well, I was born in Scotland County, in Laurinburg, but I was raised in Pembroke, North Carolina, which is in Robeson County. My dad was my high school coach. He was inducted into the North Carolina High School Coaches Hall of Fame in the early 2000s. And my mom was a RN. She was the Director of Health Services at UNC Pembroke. So being raised in Pembroke in the Lumbee Nation was always a badge of honor for all of us. And I was fortunate to come up with a lot of people that were high achievers. For instance, the chancellor at UNC Pembroke, we're in the same high school graduating class. My wife, Karen, graduated when she was 20 years old, and she had a full-time first grade teaching job when she was 20 years old. My best friend from high school is an attorney right outside of Charlotte, played football at Catawba. But I could go down the list. Growing up in that area was invigorating, was motivating. You're around a lot of high achievers, people that wanted to do something with their life. But getting the Eagle Feather is a sign of achievement and respect, and I think how you treat other people. I think that's just as important. Sometimes we watch people on TV or you hear about people and you form an opinion, and that's really not what they're about. So I think treating people the right way, never forgetting where you came from, understanding that we're all fortunate to be able to do what they do. And then I'd say the last thing is one of the things I learned is I don't ever take myself serious. You know, there's a lot of people given the opportunity. I grew up at a time when there was segregation. My dad taught and coached in an all-Indian conference. Charlie Scott broke the racial barrier at University of North Carolina, I think 1967. I was born in 1955. So I think coming from that area, I learned a lot of life lessons, but getting the Eagle Feather is a tremendous honor. But you know, right away, it's something you share with a lot of other people.
No doubt about it. Thank you for sharing that. I thought that was one of the coolest things that I saw. And like I said, I believe it happened a year ago. So 69-61, big win over Texas Tech. You avenged the loss. That happened, of course, on Monday. Your thoughts on that victory, and it was on the road. As a matter of fact, 13 straight victories on the road, including that one. That is extremely hard to do.
It was the Big 12 record. I think Kansas had 11 in a row. Our last three road games, we won at Arizona, won at Arizona State, and won at Texas Tech. I think he went on the road by having mature players, guys that play for something bigger than themselves. We're, you know, we've been to champions of the Big 12 for two consecutive years. And but the people that deserve the most credit for that starts with the players. These kids have really invested in the culture that we've established here. The road win at Texas Tech, play seats about 15 or 16,000. And right before tip-off, they introduced Patrick Mahomes, who was sitting courtside, who played football at Texas Tech before he became a Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a tough road environment, our kids. But this year, we've won at Kansas. We've won at Arizona, winning at Texas Tech. All great programs, all great coaches and players. So it's something that we prepare for. We've been lucky in some of the games that we've won that we certainly could have lost. But really proud of this group. We have tough-minded guys. We've got very good player leadership. And those are always the best teams when you have player-led leaders.
No doubt. And in coming into that game, like, you were down two of your top three scorers, and Milos Yuzon really stepped up for you. He's like your fourth leading scorer on the season. He came out of this game with a game-high 22 points.
Yeah, it's actually they were without their two leading scorers, Darren Williams and Chance McMillan, two excellent players. But when you play against a team that's got a great culture and great crowd, great home court advantage, any road win is big. But Milos, our starting point guard last year, is playing for the Toronto Raptors. He was drafted by the NBA. So Milos is in his first year as starting point guard, and he's grown and developed as the year has gone on. We had some tough early losses, but I think we've won 20 out of our last 21 games, if I'm not mistaken. But I think a lot of that reflects his growth. You know, he's gone from a brand new, you know, we have four starters back, but we lost an NBA kid. And so we brought Milos in to be the point guard. Early in the year, he was still learning things. He broke his nose. He was out 3 weeks right before we started playing in November. But as he's gotten better, more confident, taken more ownership of this program, so is our team. So I think we've reflected his growth. And then we have some veteran players that really understand the commitment it takes to grind through a season and win the regular season championship.
More with Kelvin Sampson, the head men's basketball coach at Houston, after this small pause for the cause.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That's something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually, really fun. Like, to be honest, had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is still beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston, grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm gonna send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the offseason. I was able to get that done, and, you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop. And it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
50 Cent in Atlanta told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once is a lifetime opportunity. I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and was focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was, like, invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite 3 topics.
Hey, y'all. It is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Kelvin Sampson is in his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at Houston. He joins us here on the program as we talk some hoops. What does it mean? You're not finished, right? Like, we know this. Within this program, you've had a Final Four appearance, but sort of, what does it mean to only need one game with what, 2 or 3 remaining, to actually win the Big 12 outright? Like, you're well on your way. I know you probably don't think of it that way, but you're well on your way to winning the Big 12 outright with still a couple of games remaining.
Yeah. Well, by beating Tech on the road, we still have 3 games. We play Cincinnati at home on Saturday, Kansas at home on Monday. Then we go to Baylor the following Saturday, March 8th. So I think Arizona's in second. If they lose a game and or we win a game, we win it outright. But, you know, our kids, I mean, again, that's a feather in their cap. I mean, they put in the work. I think sometimes you work, but you're not working purposeful enough. So sometimes you don't get what you earned. But our kids have a purposeful work about them. I have a tremendous staff that most of my assistant coaches played for me. 3 of them played for me at Oklahoma when I was the head coach there. So they know the journey that these kids are on, and they're able to not just be their coaches and teachers, but also their mentors. Because we really do have a family type program here. My daughter's the director of all our basketball operations. Wow. My son is the associate head coach. My other 2 assistants were my starting backcourt on a Final Four team at Oklahoma. Then the rest of the staff is have a connection to me somewhere, or their former managers. So I don't look at resumes. I don't take calls. I hire the people from within and I move them up. And that's what's made our program consistent.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Man, I tell you what have you learned about yourself in 11 seasons now as the head coach at Houston?
Well, I've always been a program builder. I was a head coach in college when I was 25. I was a head coach in the Pac-12 when I was 31. I've been a head coach in the Big 12 now for going on my 14th year, and I was a head coach in the Big 10. So, you know, being a veteran coach, I know exactly who I am and what I expect. I think I'm the gatekeeper of the culture that we've established here. And that means I teach responsibility through accountability. I'd much rather have someone that's responsible than accountable. Because if they're responsible and they know what to expect day in and day out, and they work that way, then you never have to worry about accountability. So our consistency is what I'm most proud of. We've had 5 kids drafted in the NBA. You know, we've been to Final Fours, Elite Eights, Sweet 16s. I think that consistent year in and year out has a lot to do with our staff. We haven't had a lot of turnover with our staff. They keep coming back, and that's given us an unbelievable foundation. Now, I lost one of my assistants to the head coaching job. And I'm probably going to lose another one here this year to a head coaching job. But that's also a part of my responsibility, is develop my assistants to be head coaches. And the staff I have, I've got 3 or 4 other ones that's going to be great head coaches. So we just have a great program. A lot of schools have good teams now and then. But our consistency and the sustainability of our model is through our culture our ability to demand greatness from our players and staff.
I got to tell you, Coach Sampson, that when the rankings came out a couple of weeks ago from the NCAA in terms of that bracket, Houston was a number 2 seed. I asked Joe Lunardi about that a couple of weeks ago, and then I asked him last week in his own bracket. He had just like the number – Houston as like the number 6 seed. And I'm really bullish on you guys. And that's why I asked him. He did say he thought you eventually would be a number 1 seed. Do you look at that? Does your team look at that? Like, is it not as an underdog type of thing? Because I'm thinking, you know, this is a Houston team that is fringe, one of the top 5 teams in terms of the bracket, and possibly could be a number 1 seed. Do you all look at it that way?
No, I never think about it. I think I've been to 20 NCAA tournaments. The grind every day, being inside the arena, you know, media, you guys, you know, it's a talking point for you guys. But for us that are living each day, of course, we'd like to be a 1 seed. We were a 1 seed last year. You know, we were a 2 seed the year before. I mean, this is not our first rodeo with this stuff. But I found out that if you focus on the things you can control, which are the things in front of you, what you're talking about is something way ahead. I don't worry about things that are ahead of us. That'll be here eventually, but it has nothing to do with where we're going to practice today. We play Cincinnati Saturday. Why in the world would I worry about what seed we are? Whatever seed we are, we'll be. We're gonna get a good seed. You know, we have a great chance to be the back-to-back Big 12 champions. Hopefully we will be. Got to earn it, though. We're going to be a high seed in the tournament. And whatever seed we are, doesn't really matter to me. And what I worry about is making sure we're healthy and we're in a bracket where we match up with the teams we play. That's more important to me than the other stuff.
Does this team, does it compare to maybe your team from 2020, 2021, or the 21-22 season where you went to the Final Four and Elite Eight respectively? Are there any similarities, I guess I should say, there?
Well, the culture that we play with, our defense and how hard we play, how together we play, all our teams have those traits in common. What changes is the strengths of your team based on your players' skill sets. The 21 team was one of the four best teams in the country. We went to the Final Four that year and lost to Baylor. Baylor won the national championship that year. The next year, we go back to the Elite Eight, and we're one game away from going back-to-back Final Fours. And we beat Illinois, the Big Ten champ. We beat Arizona, the Pac-12 champ. And then we lost a really tough game to Villanova, the Big East champ. Then the next year was our first year. No, that was our last year in the American. Went to the Sweet 16, lost to Miami that year. And then last year, we had a bunch of injuries and just couldn't overcome that. But we lost a heartbreaker to Duke in the Sweet 16. This year's team, I think, is more experienced coming into the season. But at this time of the season, everybody's experienced. There are no freshmen anymore. Freshmen were in November and December and January. Once you get to February and March, they've got 30-plus games under their belt, and they're experienced. So we have a good team. I don't like comparing our teams. But this team is capable of doing really well in March. But our point guard is playing much better. We have pretty good shooters. Our inside depth is solid. We have a good team, but so does Alabama, so does Auburn, so does Duke, so does Florida, so does Kansas, Iowa State, Texas Tech. I mean, we play such a tough schedule that that's one of the reasons why I don't really look ahead too much, because, you know, we got Cincinnati here on Saturday. We got Kansas here for Senior Day on Monday. Then we wrap up the season next Saturday, March 8th. We have to go to Baylor. Then after that, we'll go to Kansas City for the conference tournament. Then after that, Selection Sunday, March Madness. So it's all coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah. Not to look ahead, we'll stick with Cincinnati. As you mentioned, comes to you on Saturday. Your thoughts on the Bearcats and some of the challenges that they present?
I think that, first of all, I'm a big fan of Coach Miller. Great guy. I've coached against him, I think, nine or 10 times now in the last 3 or 4 years. They made a change. They were struggling early, but they're really playing well now. Edgerrin James' son, Jizzle James, is really taking over that team. They've got really good size. They're really athletic. They're tough kids. They're coming off a great win against Baylor. So we'll have our hands full on Saturday. But our kids were in Lubbock, Texas, Monday night. We got back right after the game. And so we've had a couple days to get recovered and looking forward to having a couple good practices and go play a tough Cincinnati team.
Last thought, 36th season as a head coach in college basketball. When you think about your career in its totality, and I know, you know, it's sort of a broad question, but what most comes to your mind?
I think the thing I'm most proud of is I've always put my players first. I think that's where you get your longevity. You don't get in this profession to be self-serving. You know, you have to make sure you understand that you're a servant leader. I like to see our kids come in and grow from boys to men. I like to see them learn life lessons through basketball and become better players, graduate from college with a degree, and go on and have great lives. You know, become husbands and fathers and come back and let me know how you're doing, stay in touch. I've always enjoyed that part, the relationship part. You know, people that judge coaches solely based on how much they win or how much they lose, in the big picture, that's pretty shallow. You know, most coaches are, first of all, really good people. That doesn't mean that they're perfect, just like anybody else. But they get into the profession, the ones that last always keep the main thing the main thing. and that's developing players, helping them reach their goals, chase their dreams, and then learn life lessons through competition. And that's what I'll miss the most is the relationship with the players and seeing them grow and do good in life.
Again, 36 seasons as a head college basketball coach, his 11th at Houston. The Cougars are 24-4 on the season, coming off the big win over Texas Tech on Monday. 13 straight road victories, by the way, and on Saturday going to take on the Bearcats with an opportunity to win the Big 12 outright. Kelvin Sampson, the head men's basketball coach of Houston, joining us here on the program. Coach Sampson, an absolute pleasure. Continued success to you and the Cougars.
Thank you. And it's always good to hear from one of my North Carolina brothers.
Thank you, Coach Sampson. You can react to anything that Kelvin Sampson had to say there. Hit me up via Twitter at DWare1, at DWare1. Up next here on the program, why did Kevin Durant decide not to leave Phoenix to go to Golden State? I'll discuss next. Keep it locked to Box to Road.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs. From the Game of the Week feature to interviews to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row? BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls. From the Press Box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Houston head men's basketball coach Kelvin Sampson joined us in the last segment. One correction. So, again, when the initial NCAA brackets came out a couple of weeks ago, Houston, again, was a number two seed. Last week in Joe Lunardi's bracket, the Cougars were a number two seed. On Thursday, Joe Lunardi released his latest bracket and had Houston as a number one seed, I would say, by virtue of its victory over Texas Tech and already wrapping up a share of the Big 12 crown. And you heard Kelvin Sampson mention there that he doesn't concern himself with any of that talk at all as it relates right now. But I got to imagine, you know, the players look at those kinds of things, and I got to imagine it's got to feel good. I mean, you've got to, even though there's still plenty of season remaining, you just don't, if you're Coach Sampson, I get that. You don't want to let that creep into your mind, into your players' mind. You probably preach that to the players. We've done nothing to this point because you're trying to get to a national championship, and the Cougars have gotten as far as the Final Four going back a couple of years ago. So I wanted to say that and make that correction, that in Joe Lunardi's latest, the ESPN bracketologist, his latest bracket, that Houston is a number one seed. That conversation with Kelvin Sampson will be posted on Sunday on the BoxToRow.com website, or you can also find it wherever you find your favorite podcasts as well. It will also be posted on the Box to Row YouTube page. Well, as mentioned, A couple of days ago, Kevin Durant sat down with Draymond Green and Byron Davis and talked about why he decided not to leave Phoenix to go back to Golden State.
I want my career to end on my terms. That's the only thing.
Bingo.
That's the only thing I'm worried about. You know what I'm saying?
That's all that matters.
Because I see a lot of dudes that don't get that opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So I want to keep putting in that work to, you know, make that choice on my own. But as far as the Warriors, I just didn't think it was, you know, and then I didn't want to move. And then as a player like me, I cost a lot. Me going into your team is going to make, it's going to be a whole new era of your team when I get to your team. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's a lot of work.
And change
the season. Like, I'm still of value. You know what I'm saying? Especially in my contract and just my production, that me just getting up and moving in the middle of the season, it's going to be a big blow to any team I'm going to. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I get why y'all want to trade me, and you know, y'all looking at it just from simple fact, that's just business. But from me looking at it, I'm just like, it just don't make sense for either side right now to go through that. You know what I'm saying? When we just play the season out, and if that's the decision you want to make, you know, in the off season, then, you know, you figure it out.
So be it. Yeah.
It's just such a big change to make, and I've been through it before. I was like, damn, that's not really it.
Absolutely. No, I think a lot of people don't realize what you going through that in Phoenix of the midnight hour trade.
Mm-hmm.
Bridges leave. Cam Johnson, Bridges, Cam Johnson. Those were big gaps, you know what I'm saying, to try to fill those holes.
Right.
You make that move in the offseason, there may be a third team you can get involved or different stuff where you don't have to deplete your whole team during the middle of the season.
And then I just want to see it through. You know, when you commit to something in a season like that, and it's like everybody's still, nobody's like big injuries, like everybody's in the lineup. And like, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to see this through to the end and see what we can really do with it. You know what I'm saying? So, and I feel like I'm committed to my coaches and teammates, and I want to see it through. So, man, I wanted to lock in on that.
Kevin Durant on the Draymond Green podcast with Byron Davis. So I thought, especially what he said there at the end in terms of wanting to kind of stick it out. See, there's been, a bad narrative with respect to Kevin Durant, right? Like in OKC. And this is the thing about him going from OKC to Golden State when that happened. He was a free agent. This wasn't like he demanded a trade or anything like that. And that's why I've always asked, tell me what the difference was between what LeBron did when he left Cleveland the first time to go to Miami, and then when KD left OKC to go to Golden State. Okay, you could say, well, he joined in the argument you could make is, well, he already joined a championship level team. Okay, but this is where I would push back a little bit. Remember when KD joined, the reason that Draymond and company recruited KD is because, remember, that was a Golden State team that had the most wins of any team in a regular season. That was the 2016 season. I think it was 3-1 up on Cleveland, lost the series to LeBron and Kyrie Irving and the Cavaliers. Thus, Golden State goes out and recruits KD. And then let's watch what happened. And I think a lot of people forget when those playoffs and the NBA Finals came around, Kevin Durant stepped his game up. Like, he carried those Golden State teams to NBA championships. And yes, I use the word carried. He carried those teams because Steph wasn't playing particularly well. And that's to me why I think it was super important for Steph to win that championship in 22 without a guy like a Kevin Durant. Because remember, even in 2015, Andre Iguodala was named the finals MVP and Steph Curry didn't have a particularly good series. But back to Kevin Durant and Golden State. 3 years in Golden State, 2 championships, 2 NBA finals, MVPs. And then let's look at what happened in year 3. KD goes down in the playoffs. He has the calf strain. As a matter of fact, in the finals, he goes down against Toronto, right? Toronto had Kawhi Leonard at that time. And what happens? KD goes down. Golden State loses the series. So you can miss me with the narrative about Kevin Durant going to Golden State and going there to win championships. And I think the other thing is, I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to Golden State when you, it wasn't like he wasn't a passenger in Golden State. He was a driver. He was, in a lot of respects, the driver. Now, he may not have been the team captain, and it was still Steph's team, but Kevin Durant led those Golden State teams to NBA titles. And again, look what happens when he went down. So I think he's gotten a bad rap. I think the narrative to that was bad. You can look at the years in Brooklyn. If you want to say he followed Kyrie to Brooklyn, I would look at it more like he wanted to play with Kyrie in Brooklyn. And Kyrie just did not act right. Like, remember, he had all that stuff, was suspended, all of those things that happened. If Kyrie had acted better and had been healthy, by the way, along with James Harden, then that may have been a team. Remember, Brooklyn was up 2-0 the year that Milwaukee won the championship. Brooklyn was up 2-0 on Milwaukee, or it may have been the next year after Milwaukee had won. Regardless, right? Like, Brooklyn was up 2-0 and ultimately won that series because there was no, you know, James Harden was playing on one leg, if I remember, and then Kyrie was out, right? Like, even in OKC, like, OKC was on the verge of winning a championship 1 year. Russell Westbrook got hurt. Another year, Kevin Durant got hurt. Otherwise, if those two guys had been together, that may have been an OKC team that would have won the championship. So I think there was a lot. And I believe it was KD's last year in Brooklyn, right? You could see that he was not a team, because the way that Boston played him, I think it was the year that Boston went to the championship and ended up losing. I think that was the year they lost. Boston lost to Golden State. That year, Boston put it to KD. Like, when Boston beat Brooklyn, they double-teamed him. Ume Udoka's defense was tremendous. The defensive philosophy he had against Kevin Durant. And to me, it started to show that KD was still a really, really good player, but he wasn't a player that solely could lead a team to a championship. And I think that's the same thing in Phoenix, and that's not nothing against KD. It's just Father Time catches up with everyone, right? So it looked like a formidable situation with Devin Booker, and then you add Bradley Beal to the mix, and it just has not worked out. Like, Kevin Durant has a legacy. Boy, I feel bad for Devin Booker, because I don't think, I mean, and like KD said, he wants to see it through, and I respect that. And that's the thing. Like, he's gotten a bad narrative, I think, over the course of his career, especially with the whole Golden State situation. Then people complained about him leaving Golden State to go to Brooklyn. He wanted to try to do something on his own to get rid of the narrative that everybody was talking about. But you went to Golden State. Then he leaves Golden State, try to do something on his own. Now everybody's like, oh, well, why did you leave Golden State? He couldn't win for losing. And like he said, I want to see this thing through for now. Now, after the season, if you want to trade me, then that conversation can be had. But I applaud Kevin Durant for staying in Phoenix to try, even though it's bad, to try to see what could happen. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Kelvin Sampson, the head men's basketball coach at Houston, for joining us today here on the program. Again, the Kelvin Sampson conversation is going to be up on the Box to Row YouTube page, as well as at BoxToRow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
I'm the magnificent with the sensational style, and I could go on and on for like a mile a minute, cause I get in it like a car and drive, and if the record is a smash, I can still survive, cause I'm the man of steel on the wheel that you're steering.
or rather playing on the record that you're hearing. You might not understand what I'm saying at first, so action love, put it in reverse. I'm just conversing with your person, this is just a conversation. I'm special ed with a special presentation.